38 seconds after the hour of 11 in the month of September, the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AMI 70 Solid State Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming by. We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. And welcome to Day 12. It is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. Mm-hmm. We are free at last from the wretched clutches. Here's the thing about Rockstar Supernova, and this is the last day that we're ever going to talk about it. Ever. Ever. We're never talking about it again after today. I have engineer.
Except for when they come through town.
When they come through
town. And they're toured with a different name.
But you know what? When they, the artist formerly known as, when they come through town in February, though, here's why that's going to be great. Because, well, this is September, so this is about, what, this is September 15th, 16th, 12th, something like that, whatever. So it's October, November, December, January, February. We got 5 months. Here's my thing. Because, you know, when they come through town, and again, this is the last day we'll be talking about this until probably the end of January. And, you know, I know the storm's going to return to town at some point. We'll talk to her about it, but that's, but as far as the show, we're done, finished, over, kaput, as of today. But it's 5 months until Supernova, or whatever they're going to be called at that point, comes through town. The great thing about that is they're going to come through town, and it's going to be whatever, the Lucas and the, you know, the other guys. And it's going to be the Panic Channel, and then it's going to be the house band with a rotating series of singers, among them Storm. And then I would imagine, like, the top five or whatever, which is, because on American Idol, I think they tour with the top 10. That's what Susan told me. So it's, I think that they'll come through with the house band, and like Storm, Toby, Delana, Magni, etc. That means we've got 5 months to get everybody in Portland aligned on the same page. And that page is Boo Delana when she comes on stage. So February 16th, you put that. See, one single MySpace posting will take care of that. That's the great thing. That is the acorn from which a mighty booing oak will grow. So mark that down in your calendar. February 16th, 2007, that is Go to the Memorial Coliseum and Boo Delana Day. I think if we do it just right, we could probably make her cry on stage again. So it'll be good times for everybody. This is the last day that we're going to be talking about Rockstar Supernova until next year sometime when they come through town. So just everybody, engineer Will came up to me in the hallway yesterday after the show, and he said, "Are we almost done? Is the show almost over?" And I said, "Yes." I said, "Tonight is the last night," and as it was. So we'll talk about that later on in the program. We'll talk about that, and then we will be done with it. It's 503-733-2970. But we would be shirking our civic duty if we did not dwell on it this one final day. And we meant to start the program with some Delana sound, and then that didn't happen. I don't know where to. I set the Delana sound aside somewhere. Where is it? We have the.
Yeah.
Fantastic. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, as we always do at this time.
A postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Mailman Chris, who, by the way, has now started to develop not as his entourage, but his own fan base. Because we were Dante's last night. And I probably shouldn't name her, but that woman was there last night. And I think her man was nearby. So she said, "I listen to you every day." And then sort of leered at him suggestively.
No, she didn't leer.
She did. She was King Lear. Let's move on. So
not my Lisa.
No.
Okay.
You're Lisa. Lisa with the razor blade earrings?
Yes, I bought those for her birthday.
Here's the thing. Do you screen your friends for hotness when you meet them? Is that the thing? Is that like if somebody's... Are your real space friends like your MySpace friends? Like your real life friends? You're sort of like, you must be this hot to ride this ride. You don't really have any ugly friends. Is this... I mean...
Greg, don't set yourself up for that, okay? Just stop.
What? Apart from me? Thank you. See, there you go.
No,
you're not. Set it up like a T-ball.
I think everyone is beautiful in their own way.
Some people are beautiful inside. Sarah just doesn't know any of those people. I'm just saying, if, like, sociologically speaking, if one were to be doing a study about where hot chicks congregate, they congregate around Sarah. You are the sun around which they rotate. This is true. I was looking in a very passing way, like a very casual way, in a fleeting way. I was looking at Lisa last night and just noticing it's a move on. Hello, Chris. How are you today?
I'm doing good.
All right. Here's what we're gonna get through today. We have CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, who will be joining us from Los Angeles today. We have the final Rockstar recap. The last Rockstar recap ever, because we're not going to follow it next season either. That's the thing. We didn't follow it last season unless somebody has just... I mean, look, here's the thing. If you've just started listening to this program, maybe you started listening to us 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks ago, you never know. People drift in and out of Portland. They move here. They leave. They come back. They whatever. Every now and again, I just heard from a woman last night who listened to us in like 2001, 2002, had no idea we were back on the air. So there are always people kind of tuning in. So if you have just joined this program in the last few weeks, you should know that it's like that girl that says, I don't normally do this kind of thing, or on the first date, or we don't normally do this kind of thing. We don't watch reality programming, and if we do, we certainly don't talk about it. It's one of those things that we have a don't ask, don't tell policy on reality programming. If you have to watch it at home, you just leave it there. Rockstar Supernova has been the exception to that. So today is the final recap, because we didn't watch it with an excess. And next year, it's like all chicks or something? Isn't that the deal? See how I care about it, even though I don't
know.
No,
I haven't even heard of it. Well, I'm never going to watch it again.
That's what I'm saying. It's already off my TiVo. I've already removed it. Somebody told me that next season, it's going to be all girls. It's like all chicks in the band, and then all chick contestants.
Yeah, that's
where you
get ratings.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
you tripping. And Barry Baumgarten should hang out, Chris.
Make me a sandwich. Anywho, so we'll do that. We got an email from a far-flung listener. We have a Geek Watch. We have a Hick Watch. And then I have some other thing. Oh, we got to talk about this, the superhero. Because here's the thing. I teased the superhero stuff spot yesterday, and I didn't get to it. And Todd the Corpse sent me an email in which you could almost hear him having an aneurysm. Oh, because he so badly wants the whole thing resolved. So we'll talk about that today, the superhero stuff spot. What watches have we today, Tim Riley?
Geek. Darwin. Snuff. Hick. Ta-da.
All right, there you go. Really? That's a lot. That's a 5.
It'll never happen.
There you go. That's the power of positive thinking that the Rick Emerson Show is known for.
You gonna tease all those, Rick?
That's all. That was a funny turn. That was sort of like a, do you really want to do this? You know what you sounded like just then? Here's an obscure pop culture reference for you. You sounded like the security guard in Attack of the Killer Clowns. Or no, in Killer Clowns from Outer Space. In which there's a bunch of clowns who get out of a Volkswagen, and they've got these huge radioactive pies. And he looks over, and the security guard says, what you gonna do with them pies, boys? Which is the best line in the film. No, here's what we'll do. We will tease the snuff, the Darwin, and the geek. That's what we'll tease. The others are just icing on the cake, my friend.
Okay.
All right, there we are. That's what we got today.
Now, I was going to ask, since it's the last hit, are you going to get a chance to play any of the remaining Delana Sounders?
Well, we played, the top, we got like 20-some of them. Some of them are duplicates, like this one here that we just played at the beginning. It was... I got several variations on that, so I don't feel compelled to play them all. Sarah pointed out yesterday, it really is our last day to use them, so we should cycle through as many as we can.
Because you never got to the Steve Irwin one, so...
The Steve Irwin one?
The one I made for the crocodile hunt.
That's because you made it the day after he was killed.
Did you... I'm not even sure that I got that. Did you send me one?
I did.
You one of him, like, yelling, crikey.
You'd mentioned it.
This is, like, the Delana Hunter.
You... Okay, that's not right. You had, hold on. You had mentioned it to me, but I don't think I ever got it. Here's the thing is that my email drops attachments sometimes. Like, Siegfried sent me that Silence of the Lambs one, which was great and disturbing. But they had to resend it 2 or 3 times. All right, well, I'll look for that. Maybe it's in my bulk mail folder or something. All right. Well, I'll try to get to that today.
All right. Well, you got Jim Roop, the Rockstar final Rockstar recap. An email, you said, from a far-flung
yes
friend. Geek Watch, Darwin Watch, Tough Watch, and discussion of the superherostuff.com commercial.
That's what I'm talking about, my friend.
All right. Well, we will tally those up and talk to you at 3.
Fantastic. There you go. There's Mailman Chris, official stenographer of the Rick Emerson radio program. All right. 503-733-2970. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon, who's here. How are you?
I am well.
It's the best day ever.
It's been a morning.
It's been a fantastic day, and it's only going to get better with every passing moment on this show.
How could not?
How indeed. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for today at the AM 970 Ministry of Truth.
Passengers tackle an airline passenger who came out of the restroom dressed in battle gear and tried to open an emergency exit door.
Oh, that's crazy. Creepy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even see it, and that makes me terrified.
Yep. A new study shows hip-hop fans have more sex. A woman tried to organize a hit on a woman whose picture appeared on her boyfriend's MySpace page.
Excellent.
A judge tells Saddam, you're no dictator.
Okay, so there you go. And we haven't had a Saddam watch in a long time, by the way. Here's a trivia question. Does anybody remember what the first watch was? Anybody remember why we created the watches on this program?
To fill time?
Well, yes, I suppose. Something between penis jokes. Okay, I can't talk about it. I was actually going to ask if anybody remembers what the first watch was. Not what story as such, but the subject. Of the many watches that we have, which was the first created? Does anybody remember?
No.
No.
And the best part from Tim is the sort of contemptuous, dismissive laughter. The sort of implication being, why would I? And really, I have no answer to that question. Oh, good times. Hey, we'll do the recap at like 1 or something. We'll get Kristen from accounting to come on for that. See, I'm already just tired of it. You can hear my voice, just the sort of, we'll do the recap at 1. We'll do it, but we do want to thank everybody who came down last night. It was just stayed to the bitter end at Dante's. Everybody who just came down, just slugged it out all the way through. Good God Almighty. And so forth. And I just have no... within 2 hours, 3 hours, the end is within my sight. I will say this, by the way, that I predicted Lucas from the very beginning. And here's the other reason we feel good about Lucas winning. Okay, we'll do the whole thing at like 1 o'clock or something. But we feel good about that because he was Storm's pick. Unless I'm remembering incorrectly, and I don't think I am.
No, he was, because she said that he had the full package.
Whatever okay. Do you mean? I'm not going to blow that one. It's too big. Hey, Scotty.
Scotty didn't get that, did he?
Scotty, were you able to isolate the best Sarah Dillon soundbite ever? You let me know. All right. Okay. You know, yesterday on the radio program, Sarah Dillon was heard to use the following phrase. Your spoilers were correct, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, see, why were you surprised, though? Here's the thing. Yesterday,
I was tricking you.
Were you? Oh, it was a fake out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bluff.
And I love messing with people, and especially when I told Lisa all day yesterday that Delano won.
See, which you said to me, and I believed you. This is you, harlot. This is because we were here yesterday, and at like 11:15, Sarah just like, I know who won. I just got a text message from my mole. I know who won. And so the person, your mole had just emailed you. Lucas, right? That's all that's all it said. That's all the text said.
Text I just written them. Oh, hope you're having a good day. Blah blah blah. Having fun in L.A. And then all of a sudden they just wrote back, Lucas. I'm like, oh great.
Way to keep.
I didn't
secret.
Even ask. Yeah.
Way to keep the source on the down low.
No, my friend who lives in L.A.
Okay. We're all convinced.
Mm-hmm.
And I went all day not knowing any of the spoilers or nothing, and I was so terrified that it would be revealed. And then, did you catch this? Did you catch that CBS themselves revealed it?
Mm-hmm.
Because they went to the final commercial break before they came back to announce it, and they had Lucas singing his song with Supernova over the Survivor trailer. They're like, coming up, you know, tomorrow, Survivor, CBS. And in the background, it's like Lucas and Supernova singing the song. So, way to keep a lid on it, CBS.
Way to go.
That's some quality programming is detailing right there. Oh, you do? Where is it?
Oh, no.
Where would I find this audio? Oh, okay. He'll have it later today. Because yesterday, Sarah had the spoiler for Rockstar Supernova, and I said, don't reveal it, don't give it away, because I don't want to know. And Sarah said the following thing. She said, I'm not going to bluff that one. It's too big. Which is genius.
Please, well,
yes, I am. Thank you, and welcome. Welcome to me. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll read a couple of these emails, but let us get a head start on the day's events by going to your personal savior, Tim Riley, at the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Dateline Rogers, Arkansas.
This is going to be good.
A fire alarm, seven firefighters to Rogers High School when a popcorn experiment went awry. Officials said students were trying to determine if room temperature popcorn popped best in the microwave. Students cooked one bag too long and the science room was full of smoke. The fire was confined to the bag. Meanwhile, in North Dakota, the odor of...
Hold on. Is this an actual story?
Yes, it was.
About a kitchen somewhere that had smoke in it because they overpopped some popcorn.
Yes, from Arkansas. That is the top story. This is Red State News.
I guess maybe it is breaking technology where they live, where they've suddenly developed it. I'm anal retentive.
And because they're connected by satellite, they can tell the world about this.
They can share all the exciting news. You've got to take that picture off your screen. God damn, that's hideous.
I just posted it.
Oh, Lord. I don't want to see that. See, here's... Can I just tell you this? And I will explain
Sorry,
when
I need to distract you.
I'm getting like five thoughts deep here. I got to stop. Before I explain that, I got to tell everybody what I'm looking at. On Sarah's screen over here, which I believe is now at sarahxdillon.com. Mm-hmm. What happens if they type that in? Do they go right to your blog now?
It goes, yes.
Okay. So you can go to sarahxdillon.com. There is this truly awful picture of Kate Bosworth. You know how on Seinfeld they talked about there was good crouching and there was bad crouching? Here's the thing. There's good leaning over with a plunging neckline so we can all see down your shirt, which would be perhaps any number of Sarah's friends. And then there's bad leaning over so we can see down your shirt. Kate Bosworth is firmly in the latter category. This is... It, and you nailed it when you said that her, and I'm speaking now, I'm just speaking now as a journalist. This is a sociological observation that I'm making now. That her area, I can't even call it cleavage, because cleavage implies, I think cleavage is an actual technical term. I think cleavage is actually, I don't mean to dwell on this, I believe that cleavage is actually the term for the, when there is sort of a bringing together of the two, of the left
part
and the right.
Part of the holes?
Yes. There's no cleavage here because there really aren't any bosoms on Kate Bosworth to speak of. It really is I don't know. You know, like when you're cooking a turkey.
What became of this conversation? is it in the middle?
I'm trying to pick my way through this minefield. You know, when you cook a chicken,
or
a turkey, and it's like, you know, and there's the drumsticks and there's the wings and there's the, you know, the breast or whatever, the center.
Right, the pieces of the turkey.
Yes, and then you turn it over. And there's this sort of concave, hollow inside of the baked chicken where you can just see all the ribs and whatever. Now imagine that you put Kate Bosworth's head on that. That's what this is. And Sarah really nailed it when she said that it was the something about Mary breasts.
It's the old lady from There's Something About Mary.
This, and we talked about this yesterday, I think, or 2 days ago. We were talking about in Madrid where they're telling these hideous bag of bones women that to get off the runways and go eat a goddamn sandwich. That really is what I'm talking about here. And I had a friend of mine who made it. A friend of mine with whom I have this argument frequently about you know, overly thin women and body type and whatever. And I always, the weird part is, have you guys noticed this? That if you have this discussion, and it frequently doesn't end with a discussion, it frequently becomes an argument with a woman about body type. That really, unless you are just some freaky guy who's attracted to small boys, the guy always ends up taking what you would think would be the female perspective. Because every guy I know, and I've talked about this a lot, he's constantly saying, like, eat something, for the love of God. Go hit the noodle bar and then come back. Whereas women are always just, no, I got to be thinner, whatever. And it's just some pathology. So there's a woman, a female friend of mine with whom I have this argument constantly. And her refrain about thin women is, she's like, well, don't you think that clothes just hang a lot better on really thin women? And here's the thing. Even if that were true, and I don't know whether it is or is not, because I am not a, which may surprise you, I am not a fashion maven. I am not a Mr. Blackwell type. So maybe clothes hang better on really, really slender women. Maybe they don't. All I'm saying is, there comes a moment, perhaps inadvertently, perhaps intentionally, when the clothes come off. And at that point, what you have is Kate Bosworth in this photograph. And it really is, there's no other term for this, wretch-inducing. It really is among the most unpleasant things I've seen this month. And that's saying something. So there you go. So the next time, really, the next time you got like a girlfriend or a wife or something who's prattling on about some new crash diet she's going to go on, I want you to direct her to this photograph of Kate Bosworth and inform her that you find that repellent in almost every fashion. It just really is terrible. Thank you for taking it off the screen. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, the owner of a bar from Kensal, North Dakota, is driving a herd of 105 Texas Longhorns halfway across the state for the second straight year. Daryl Beckley said the kettle drive was prompted by a men aren't men like they used to be conversation in the bar. He said the time on horseback empties his mind.
Empties his mind.
Yes.
I'm sorry?
Empties his mind.
Okay. Well.
Of thoughts that men aren't men like they used
to be. Let's see. Rick. Let's see. Dear God, she looks like an H.R. Giger creature. No, completely is true. Sort of, just picture her. If you look at that picture of Kate Bosworth, it's on Sarah's site. Picture her like with an egg sack and then like chasing Sigourney Weaver. It's just, you know, and with like an extra set of metal teeth coming out. Rick, this email says, when you were at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, were you early enough in the day to check out some of the celebrity graves? I was indeed. Dee Dee and Johnny Ramone are there. I mentioned the Dee Dee Ramone's grave is great because there's like a Chuck Taylor's all over there. And in true Ramone's fashion, they're just as far away from each other as they can possibly get. And there's a huge golden statue of Johnny Ramone, which is great. Douglas Fairbanks Sr. and Jr., as well as Rudolph Valentino,
yep,
is there. Here's a really bizarre thing. So I have my Motorola Q. We were driving around, and we were getting ready to go to the Hollywood Forever Cemetery because they do these cemetery screenings, which I was talking about the other day, where they show a classic film on the wall of the museum. And it sounds creepy, but it's really not. If you didn't look around and try to focus on the fact that you are completely ringed by huge tombstones, you would completely forget the fact that you're in a cemetery, because it really is like this sort of upscale wine and cheese kink FM.
It's a mall of death.
It's a mall of death. Marianne Rambo, pleased to be adding that to your list of phrases of the day. But it's a very peaceful place. It doesn't feel creepy at all. And I'm not really creeped out by cemeteries anyway. They don't really freak me out at all. But we were trying to figure out what time the screening is. So I went to Google and I typed in, like, celebrity, you know, Hollywood Forever Cemetery or whatever. And you know what came up? It was Rudolph Valentino's MySpace page, which is bizarre. And I mean, and I thought maybe somebody was just being wacky. But I went there and clearly, I don't know if it's his estate or if it's a fan, or if it's a whatever, but somebody has created a MySpace page for Rudolph Valentino, who died in, what, like 1930-something?
Yeah.
I mean, he was a star, like, he was a silent star, wasn't he?
Yep.
So, and it's, you go there, and it's just all of these undoubtedly, like, overweight, horny housewives leaving a lot of, like, we miss you, come back soon! You know, it's all very creepy. Mel Blanc, Chaplin's mother and oldest son. The list is long. Also check out The Young and the Dead. Yeah, there weren't a lot. I mean, everybody there was sort of from a different era. Is the Hollywood Forever Cemetery sort of a B-list cemetery? Is this sort of
nobody had been there, buried there for the longest time. And it was this overgrown mess that had been closed down until these owners bought it and tried to spiff it up a bit.
And they said, this guy says, it used to be called Hollywood Memorial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then back in the late 90s, he said that they reinvented it into Hollywood Forever, and apparently there's a movie called The Young and the Dead, which I guess it tracks the entire reinvention of this place.
Yeah, so this young guy in his 20s who buys these cemeteries all over the country and fixes them up, bought this.
It is pretty great, and it's one of those things that lets you know that, I mean, it is sort of, L.A. is not like any place that, like, you can't, like, even in Portland, which is a pretty hip community, I can't really imagine them showing a lot of mainstream movies in a cemetery here after dark. I just don't know. Here's the other, and this is the last
thing
I'll say.
They did have a tour. They had a Midsummer's Night tour of the cemetery at Laurelhurst.
Of here?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you could just wander around. They would tell you all the history of Portland and the people who are buried there.
This weekend, there's two of these cemetery screenings left in L.A. This weekend is, like, I don't know, some other film. And then next weekend is Dawn of the Dead, which is the final one, which is fantastic. Dawn of the Dead screening in the Hollywood Cemetery. It is one of those things that lets you know that L.A. is not like other places. I sent Sarah this text message from L.A.
Oh, from the party you were at?
That's the thing. I was at this hotel called The Standard, which is in downtown L.A., which is right by the, what is it, Bonaventura? Is that what that's called?
Bonaventure.
Yes. And the Citibank building. And it was really like one of those entourage parties. I mean, you just felt like that, where it's like the roof of the hotel I was on, had this party going on where it's like the swimming pool is all illuminated with the dark blue, and then there's like the waiters and the champagne, and there's a bunch of hot girls that would never talk to me. And so Laura and I are just standing up there on the roof of the hotel over the railing. And here's the great thing. If this is, I mean, you can tell that this is a thing that the hotels just do there on a regular basis, because we are on the rooftop of our hotel, which is, I don't know how many floors that, but it is. It's not like hundreds. It's not like an L.A. or a New York skyscraper. But we're on the rooftop of our hotel, and I'm just sitting there thinking and realizing how uncool I am. And across the street, so to speak, on the rooftop of the hotel next to us, is another party going on. And our party had some sort of hip-hop music, and then across the way it was the Smiths. And so it was this bizarre, like Kanye West, Morrissey mashup happening as the music from the two. And then this, the final note, and then we'll break, because we got Lisa Goddard, I believe, coming up at the bottom of the hour here. But here's the thing. This is the single most defining characteristic of this hotel we stayed in. And you really ought to stay at this place, because it's pretty stylish.
The standard?
The standard. The whole motif they've got is the "Hello, my name is" tag. So, like, all of the rooms are like, "Hello, my name is room 1138. You know, "Hello, my name is ice room. Hello, my name is sauna." It's kind of a cool design, except for this. It's one of those things that you think is a mistake, and then you realize it's not a mistake. It's just the type of hotel you're in. So Laura and I get into the room. We check in. We've been flying all day, and she's, you know, we're all hot and tired and whatever, and she, you know, grumpy, and she wants to take a shower. So,
but she can't because all of her shampoo's been dumped out.
because everything has been taken away. So it's just, it wasn't more than one room. We didn't get like a multi-room suite or anything. It was just one big room, you know, like most hotel rooms are. And there's the bed, and then there's the bathroom, and then there's the shower. Now, how do I describe this? The shower is a glass room in the middle of the hotel room. Okay, but it gets better.
That's cool.
And except that there's no shower curtain. So, the shower is right next to the toilet, and there is a curtain in the bathroom that you can pull to separate the toilet from the shower. But if you are in the shower, it is just glass walls looking out onto where the bed
That's
and the
fairly genius,
living room.
Though, because you know when you and your friends get like 10 people to a room,
yeah.
That way they know that you don't want to shower in front of your friends, so they can limit the people into the, you know, in the room.
It's
an intimate couple.
That's what I was thinking. I wasn't thinking it was a lot of that. I was thinking it was a lot of "we are
let
swingers,
me shower for you."
As in to swing. That's, I mean, and Laura sort of did the whole, that comic thing of like pulling on the curtain to see if it would go any further. She's like, "I think there's a mistake. The curtain won't." And it was a room designed, so yeah, if you are, and I got the feeling that all the rooms were designed that way. So whoever's in the shower can be seen by everybody in the room. It's like you're showering inside a big glass box. It's the weirdest thing. And it was...
kind of cool?
No, in no way is that... I mean, I guess if I was not me, I guess if I was someone stunningly attractive and with a bevy of playmates... Because I don't know anybody who's... Look, I don't care who you are. I don't know anybody who's got enough body confidence to be like, "Let me shower where everyone in the room can watch." I mean, that is... If you're like that, there's either something really good or something really bad.
Your MySpace friend would feel comfortable with it.
We got to talk about her. We'll come back. We got Lisa Goddard on the way. More from Tim Riley. We got the new news hour coming up. Later on, we got the top five, the final rock star recap ever, your phone calls, etc. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio.
Coming like a rhino, table turn, suckers burn to learn, they can't disable the power.
I think I can mention that. I'll say this. Let's see, where is it? I got a text message last night. A multimedia text message on my Motorola Q. From Storm. And it's Storm, Davey, and Brooke Burke. And it's the three of them sort of peering into the cell phone camera. So there you go. So that was cool. All right, thanks everybody who came out to Dante's last night. Last night was kind of the hardest of the hardcore, I think, because I think after last Wednesday, it was just sort of, you know what it is? It's like when you're working for a long period of time, or maybe you're engaged, like doing a sporting event, or you're up for, you know, you're at a party that just goes on forever, you got like a long weekend or a vacation, and then it's over suddenly, and you get like the cumulative fatigue that suddenly hits you, and I think that's what happened to everybody last week with Rockstar, and so we stuck it out to the bitter end last night, so we'll talk about that at... Like 1 o'clock we'll do that. By the way, before we get to Lisa Goddard here, Tim Riley found a review of that hotel.
Oh, what did it say?
That I stayed at in, I was talking about this, and I meant to talk about this on Monday, but I just didn't get to it. The Standard, which is this, and again, I don't mean the knockdown hotel, it's a beautiful hotel, and very stylish. It reminds me of a place called the Ace Hotel in Seattle. Not to be confused with the Ace with the fat women and the Kangles here in Portland. It's a place called the Ace Hotel, which is, it's sort of a hipster hotel where it's everything, it's very Spartan by design. Everything is white and chrome and like the...
Kind of like the Jupiter?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, and like the facial tissue, you know, like the Kleenex has like Che Guevara's face on it. It's like a total, it's a total hipster place that Laura likes to stay. But it reminded me a lot of that, except for this see-through shower. Again, which you can be seen, but and the fact that they didn't point it out when we were checking in, they said, by the way, when you're showering, you can be seen by everybody in the hotel room. They didn't say that at all, which leads me to believe it's the whole hotel that's that way, that we didn't get some special, like, swinging room or something. Okay, here we go. This is from a comment. I stayed there as part of a conference group, says whoever this is on the LA Times website or TripAdvisor. I was not sharing my room. As a single occupant, I adored the see-through bathroom area because I could watch TV while showering. Good God. Yeah, so there you go. So either stay there or, you know, don't. It's 503-733-2970. Let us now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill. CNN radio correspondent to the stars and woman about town, Lisa Goddard. How are you, Lisa?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How are you doing, Rick?
I'm doing okay. Your voice sounds like you've turned a corner.
I'm hoping so. I knew there was something going on. I had the dry throat there for...
Here's the worst part about this. And I'm not going to be... Because the problem is everybody you know, and especially if you work in radio or any kind of broadcasting, you just... Every time you open your mouth and you start talking about a sore throat or a head cold or my voice, everybody's got some their own stupid homemade remedy. Everybody claims that they have, the magical the bullet to get rid of this. So I'm not going to drone on about it. Here's what you really ought to be taking for your throat, Lisa. Because I'm just be some other idiot weighing in on it. I will say this. As you know, the worst part with that dry throat... because it becomes a sort of a... It becomes a cyclical thing where... You go to sleep, you have the dry throat, you get the tickle, and then you cough because of the dry throat. And, of course, ironically, the only thing that makes the cough go away is no longer having the dry throat, which only comes after coughing for like 45 minutes. And then it just becomes a thing that drags on forever and ever and ever, like some sort of a soap opera of the immune system. It just goes on and on forever. How's that?
I was feeling so much more hopeful a few minutes
ago. Oh, no. I can get rid of that. I can beat that right out of you. Just get rid of any optimism you may have. By the way, before we talk about this Rumsfeld thing, you mentioned this yesterday, and I guess we were so busy talking about so many of the things, I didn't really notice it. This is, by the way, if you were looking for something that is a microcosm of our government at work, something that is emblematic of all that our government does and does not do, is it true that it took them until... yesterday to create a fifth anniversary resolution for 9/11?
In the House, yes.
Why is that?
Isn't that an interesting question? The Senate had theirs ready to go. They had theirs done before September 11th was over. The House, I think really in large part, people will give you all kinds of spin as to why that was, but basically it was because they couldn't agree over the language. There was a lot of strategy involved in that particular resolution. Republicans had to decide exactly what they wanted to put in it, and there was a lot of back and forth behind the scenes on that, and so it came to the floor yesterday.
I mean, that's just one of those things. Yeah, and here's that is one of those things that is designed, it seems, just for radio hosts and pundits to sort of snicker at, and to be pulled out of the archives and put in some future book about the comedic misadventures of American government. I mean, it really is. It is so perfect and just so terrible all at once that, I mean, it's just, you couldn't create a better microcosm of our American political process.
Kind of scary about it is that everyone sort of shrugged it off, said, "Oh well, yeah, that's the way it goes." Yeah. In the House, they're going to pass that resolution 2 days after the anniversary has passed, and it's sort of what everyone sort of just yep, that's the way it is. It struck me for sure.
There has been this ongoing clattering of. Whatever, a thing that clatters, about Donald Rumsfeld. Democrats are demanding that Donald Rumsfeld step aside, and then he's doing a bad job, and then he's just a mouthpiece for the administration and so forth. I have two questions. One of which is, and I don't mean to imply, I mean, Secretary of Defense, that he's powerless or that he doesn't have a hand in shaping things, but my two questions are, A, I mean, would it change anything? It seems to me like so many of... It seems like he is a mouthpiece in so many ways. In other words, that he really just parrots a lot of what sort of comes down from above him. Do you suppose it would actually have any real-world change if he were not in there running this? Or would it just continue on?
Wow, you are hitting on a major area of speculation in Washington. I think most people here think that Donald Rumsfeld held a great deal of sway in the Bush administration and that many of the decisions, especially in the president's first term that they made that involved the military, that Donald Rumsfeld was not the one taking the orders, but he was the one suggesting what they should be along the course with Vice President Cheney. But of course, in the last year, a lot of people think that Secretary Rumsfeld's influence has waned, that he doesn't really have that much power over the president or influence with the president, that people like Secretary Rice, for example, have taken prominence in the Oval Office. So it's hard to say. I don't think that he is someone who marches in lockstep without giving his opinion. I think that if it was something that he disagreed with the president on or disagreed with the way things were going, I think he's someone who would say so.
Are they going after Rumsfeld, these posts, because they're hoping it'll start some kind of a domino effect? Is he the back door into sort of taking apart the administration from within, do you suppose, from the Democratic point of view?
Well, I think there's two things. One is that his approval ratings are rather low, generally, with the public. And then second of all, he's someone who they can ask for the resignation of. If you said something like this about Vice President Cheney, if you said, oh, we want to ask for the Vice President's resignation, that gets into a whole other level of constitutional issues and prominence. And so by attacking Rumsfeld, it's more of a simple, I'll just resign, just ask him to resign and you can replace him. Cabinet secretaries are replaced all the time, that kind of thing. So they think it's something that's plausible versus going after the vice president that everyone would say, no, that's never going to happen.
You know, the great thing about Donald Rumsfeld is, you know, sometimes you can just close your eyes and you can have it. You can just picture the future, what people are going to end up doing. For example, I remember when Pierce Brosnan was on Remington Steele years ago and everybody immediately said, in the future, he will be James Bond. And it just seemed so perfect. Here's the thing with Donald Rumsfeld. Here's where Ronald Rumsfeld is going to show up. He will either resign, finish out his term, you know, they'll get rid of him, something. Whenever this all comes to an end for him as being the Secretary of Defense, mark my words, he will be one of those guys that they have a little one-inch-by-one-inch photograph in the bottom of the New York Times for one of those package leadership conferences that comes to town. And it's a lot of, like, bring your sales force, you know, hear Rudy Giuliani speak. Also, you know, some athlete guy, also a guy from General Mills, plus Colin Powell, also Don Rumsfeld. That's exactly what he's going to do. He's going to be a motivational speaker. You mark my words. And in the future, when that happens, you can say that Rick Emerson predicted it.
All right, I'm putting money down on you. I think that there is a good chance that is, in fact, what will happen.
And just as a real brief side note, I know that you're not really talking about this, but we talked to Jim Roop about it a little bit yesterday, and there's all this buzz. Is there any reaction from Tony Snow or anybody at the White House about this movie that played at the Toronto Film Festival where they, and again,
the whole Bush assassination movie?
And be very clear, that it is a fictitious, not a documentary, but a fictitious film purported showing the sort of alternate reality assassination of George Bush, to whom I wish the best of health and a long life, by the way.
I'm glad that you added that for anyone who may be listening to this phone call or radio recording.
Yes. Is there any reaction from the White House about that?
No, you know, I haven't seen any. I haven't seen any, but I've talked to some staffers up here on the Hill, and pretty much Democrats and Republicans both rolling their eyes at that and saying they think it's in bad taste. It's one of those story that, honestly, I almost hesitated to ask people because I knew that everybody's going to know what the right answer is when you ask about a question. You ask about a movie showing the assassination of the current president. Everyone's going to say, oh, that's in bad taste. Some people chuckled, some people laughed, and, you know, would say, oh, yeah, I know why people are doing that movie.
It's just, you know, we do live in a strange time. We live in a time where, God, was it Ari Fleischer? Who was it that made that infamous crack about Bill Maher right after 9/11, where he made some statement to the effect of, you know, Bill Maher should be very careful what he says.
I know what you're saying.
All right. Well, in any event. All right, Lisa Goddard, thank you so much. Hope you continue to improve in terms of health, and we will talk to you very soon.
And I hope you continue to remain undetained.
Well, Thank you. That's love right there. Thank you. Thanks, Lisa. All right, there you go. Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent.
She sounds genuinely concerned for you.
I hope you remain undetained. Not so funny now, is it, funny man?
That's dead on.
All right. So I love that guy, man. That that Dick Cheney guy in V for Vendetta, he's fantastic. And you know what I want? If you all have seen V for Vendetta, let me ask you this, by the way. Who knows? I'm doing that thing again where I'm getting ahead of my own thoughts. I not only put the carriage before the horse, I put the whole stable before the horse. I was thinking about that scene in V for Vendetta.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how my thought process works. She says, "I hope you remain undetained." I immediately think of Mr. Creedy in V for Vendetta,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, reminds me of the not so funny now, is it, funny
with
man?
With the black bag scene. And
with
the
Stephen Fry, where they come in and they whack the guy. And I'm thinking about, what is that device that he has that
it's a
looks...
nightstick, isn't it?
It's not a night. Well, but it's not like a cop nightstick. A cop nightstick is like a... it is a uniform...
It's like a baton, kind of.
Yeah, it's a uniform length, and it's shaped like an L, and it's metal. That's not what he has, because his, like, flicks open.
It seems like a switch.
What is that? If anybody knows, that thing in V for Vendetta that Creedy has when he comes in, and it's like it's closed, and then he goes... And he sort of flicks his wrist, and it opens. And it's sort of like a riding crop, but without the little leather bit on the end. And then... But it looks like it... I'm presuming it's a real device. It's not like a made-up weapon. And he does some serious damage with that thing. I mean, he works, that guy. So if you know what...
It is a movie, right?
I'd like to own one of those, is my only point.
It's probably made out of cardboard.
I'm just... It seemed...
You know they put fake blood on them,
right? I know it's only a movie. But that prompts this question. Sometimes in old Mickey Spillane novels, like Mike Hammer novels, they talk about taking a sap to a guy. And it, like a sap... I hear that. I don't understand what that is, and I've read about it in a billion detective novels where they're like, the guy came around the corner, I took the sap out of my pocket and hit him on the back of the head, and he went down like a ton of bricks, or, you know, whatever, blah, 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 chin music. I've read about that a billion times. I don't know what a sap is. Sarah? You're doing that thing again where you just give me the glazy look. Well, let's go to the phones, shall we? Oh, we need go-to-the-phones music. You're really right about that. Let me see if I can find some appropriate go-to-the-phones music here.
Oh, no.
That's my last day. I got to use it.
That's true.
I love this.
I'm supposed to go to the phones
music. I'm waiting. Going to the phones. Get off my back. Is Storm going to think less of us when she hears all this?
Well, hopefully she won't. Well, we'll be done talking about it tomorrow.
Yes, how would she find out?
She's still in L.A.
All right.
She still thinks we're good people.
All right. Anyway, I think that may be a house divided anyway in terms of viewpoints on Delana. That's my suspicion. Okay, let's see, Amanda?
Hey, I know what a sap is, and the person that maintains that weird website or my page for Rudolph Valentino.
All right, is your name Amanda?
Is my name Amanda?
It says Amanda on the screen.
No, I just called.
Okay, okay then. Okay, so, all right, so do you know what the weapon is in V for Vendetta that he uses to whack the guy?
Well, if it's a sap is a small leather container with lead on the end.
Okay, this is not a sap, because we're talking about different things. Okay, so a sap is, how big is it?
It's about 7 to 8 inches, and it's what police officers used to carry in their trousers as opposed to a billy club. It's the forerunner to the billy club.
So is it like, how do I describe this? Is it like a sort of, okay, this sounds dumb, but is it like a long sort of thin hacky sack, but just filled with lead?
It's like lead shot on the end. It would be if you took a piece of lead, like a leather stock.
Okay,
and
so it's
sewed up, and then there's usually a strap that goes around your wrist. And in old movies, especially old Keystone Cops movies, every once in a while you'll see a guy flipping one around.
So this is like in Death Wish when he takes a sock and puts like $10 worth of quarters in the end of it.
Or what was that movie with the soda cans in the sock? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Same kind of thing.
Fantastic.
And, hey, that weird website that you were, or MySpace with the ode to
Rudolph Valentino.
Yeah, that's maintained by a 13-year-old girl.
Oh, that's creepy and
who's
cool.
Who's got a big that show that you were talking about where they talk about the people that bought that cemetery.
Yeah.
Well, there was like a little side note during that show, or it was on HBO or something like that, where they talked about this girl who's got this massive, and her room is filled with posters, and she's just a huge, and she goes to his memorial all the time.
Of Rudolph Valentino, which is cool and weird, I guess, because, again, it is, he did die like 80 years ago.
Well, I tend to be more on the, if my daughter was into, I'm the Zoe dad, by the way, if Zoe was into, that, I mean, she's into you, which is weird enough, but,
Yes, the less said about all this, the better.
Yeah, but there's the answers for those two things.
All right, thank you, sir.
No problem.
All right, there you go. Let's see. Okay, so that solves one of the weapon questions. You know, we probably know this is Will. This is Steve. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
How are you doing?
Hi, Steve. What's up?
Hey, I'm not going to discount what the guy was telling you. That's what a SAP is called, but I believe that the 1 in V for Vendetta, it's a telescoping ribaton. It's called an ASP.
It's an ASP, A-S-P, like the ASP, like the snake?
It's a small viper, yeah.
Is that a thing I could buy?
It is indeed.
Oh, that's
you do not need a license to buy those. I have one.
Really? Now, is it...
I'm a cop.
Okay, so you are a cop. Now, you have to... So I would have
to
go...
No, I'm not a police.
Oh, you're not. So would I have to get... Did you have to get a permit?
No.
Oh, that's... How much could I expect to pay for one of those?
They come in varying sizes. They range generally in price anywhere from $40 to $80.
All right. So this is, is it like metal or is it just leather?
It's a metal graphite rod. It's telescoping.
It seems like you could really do some killing with that.
It could do some damage, yeah.
Okay. I mean, not that I would ever advocate that. I'm just saying, I'm piecing together my Halloween costume as we speak. And
it's a fabulous device for personal defense.
Of course. Of course, exactly. All right, tobacco.
It's a small Benny size that even Sarah would be able to carry in a purse. It's really cool.
Fantastic. We should all get one. Let's outfit the entire show staff. All right, thank you.
Here's the funny thing. I got mine as a Christmas present from my mother-in-law.
Well, nothing says love of Jesus like a thing that can break legs.
So. Exactly.
All right, thank you. Thank you, sir. There you go. That's Steve. See? You didn't think the audience would know. All right, let's get a couple more.
I didn't say they wouldn't know. I said I didn't know.
And didn't care. Sure. Chris, those are pretty cool. You got those on the screen over there, though. Those are pretty...
Hello.
Those are pretty impressive. Chris, hello, sir.
Oh, hey, I was just calling about the weapon you were wanting to identify and where you could pick one up. So.
Okay, I think we've answered it, so it's great. All right, now I know. Now and everybody knows what I want for Christmas. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Right,
yeah, David sent this site to me, and it's only $26 for a big one.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I don't want to picture you with a weapon.
We should just have, I've always wanted to, we're talking about reality shows. Here's the thing. I want to have a reality show. And you'd have to do this in another country. Yeah, I don't think you could do it in America. I want to have a reality show where it's just two really, really, really angry people who don't get along about some fundamental issue. Like you get, whatever, crazy atheist, crazy Christian. Man-hating misogynist. Man-hating feminist, woman-hating misogynist. Put him in a room.
Pro-choice, pro-life.
Pro-choice, pro-life, pro-gun, anti-whatever. But you put him in a room, and then on the table is just a gun. And then there you go. Just turn the camera on. Hours of fun. Or maybe not even a gun, because that might be over too quickly. One of these, perhaps. You just get them sort of evenly matched. Okay. You sons of bitches. Anybody do? That's my idea. A-holes. All right. It's 503-733-2970. I didn't even get to the MySpace girl. Don't let me forget. We got it. Because people are demanding. What does that guy say in that episode of Futurama? We demand bouncing of the third type.
She'd love it, I think. I really do think that she would like the exposure.
You're saying she'd like the attention?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Come on, if you have seven MySpace pictures and all of them are you in your underwear saying, I like to have fun.
You're saying that she wouldn't find the attention horrible? Ha! Ha! There you go. Thank you. Okay, back after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970. Solid State Radio in mere moments, ladies and gentlemen. The real reason you were here today, Tim Riley. Stay there.
For the love of God, keep listening.